Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8 this morning. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with angels praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to the people he favors." When the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds turned to one another and said, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the advent of your Son, Jesus Christ, into our world. Thank you for sending the light into the darkness. Thank you for making a way for us to have relationship with you. We pray that this morning you would open our hearts to your word. We ask that you would proclaim the same good news to us, that peace has come to mankind. We pray that you would open our hearts up to receive this word. Let it be planted and take root and grow and bear fruit in our lives so that we can go out and proclaim the same good news to the world around us. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would bless me as I deliver your word. Lord, I am a man of unclean lips, and I'm unworthy to declare your word, but through your Son, Jesus Christ, I ask that you would give me grace. I ask that you would just guide us into your truth this morning. We love you and pray all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Hey, for those of you who don't know, my name is Grant Adams. I am the student pastor here at the Fountain Church. I'm so grateful to be here with you this morning. There is literally nothing I'd rather be doing on a Sunday morning than spending time with you all, getting into the Word of God, the sacred Scripture, so that we can grow closer to God this Advent season. I got to meet a new friend, Dana, today, and we were talking before the service about Advent and what Advent is all about. And that's another one, like Gloria in Excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. Advent is a Latin word for the word arrival. And that's what this whole season is all about, is preparing our hearts for the arrival of Christ by looking back at the arrival of Christ into this world as an infant and then looking forward to every single day when Christ makes his arrival in our hearts, and to the eventual return in glory, where we will see Jesus Christ face to face, and we will be changed forever. This is what Advent is all about, is preparing our hearts for that day, and for each day as he meets us, as we live our lives for him. And today we're talking about the proclamation of peace to all mankind, to prepare our hearts for this peace, and prepare our hearts to deliver this peace to the world around us. This past week, I heard about a Christmas tradition that these brother-in-laws, Larry Kunkel and Roy Collette, had. This was reported some time ago in the New York Times, and it's a verified story, so you can fact check me on this, because in 1964, Larry's mother gave him a pair of moleskin pants, but they froze in the Minnesotan winter, so Larry re-gifted them to his brother-in-law. That's like, I was given this gift a few years back. It's this food dehydrator, and it has sat in the box on top of my fridge, and I was looking at that yesterday. I was like, I wonder who I could give that to this Christmas. But Larry had the same strategy, so he re-gifted this pair of pants to his brother-in-law. Roy returned the gift back to his brother-in-law, Larry, at a later Christmas by wrapping the pants into a one-inch pipe. They passed the pants back and forth for every year for the next 25 Christmases. The packaging became more and more difficult for them to open. Roy sent the pants to Larry in a 600-pound safe that he had welded shut. And the next year, Larry responded by sending the pants back in a 3-foot cube that had once been a 1974 Gremlin. And attached a note to it said, "The pants are in the glove box." Roy later sent the pants back in an 8-foot tire filled with 6,000 pounds of concrete with a note that said, "Have a good year." And the tradition finally ended when Roy tried to have the pants encased in 10,000 pounds of jagged glass, but during the process, the molten glass burned the pants to ashes, and that was the end of their tradition. So we all have traditions that prepare us for Christmas Day. I know for my family growing up, the day after Thanksgiving, if Black Friday was going on, well, as soon as we could, we would go out and get the Christmas tree and put it up. My mom always liked having the real tree, which turned me off to real trees. We got that fake tree now, pre-lit. It's very nice. It's very good. Way less work, way less cleanup. But I know we've all got our Christmas traditions that prepare us for that Christmas day. Some of you weirdos out there like listening to Christmas music as soon as Halloween is over. That's okay. That's okay. Bridget's one of those weirdos that I'm talking about, my sweet wife, and she's not here. You guys pray for her. She wasn't feeling too well this morning. But yeah, she loves listening to the Christmas music. She probably would year-round if it was socially acceptable. And we all tend to lower our standards greatly to watch horrible Christmas movies around this time of year to get into the Christmas mood, to prepare ourselves for Christmas Day. Advent is a tradition that the church has had for hundreds of years where we prepare ourselves for the true meaning of Christmas. We take these traditions in the church, these Advent calendars, these worship songs that have these rich meanings behind it that have been sung for so many generations to prepare our hearts for that Christmas day when we remember that our Messiah has come into this world and declared peace to all mankind and continually comes into our lives today to declare this peace. And eventually he will return in glory to completely establish his kingdom forever and ever. That's what we are looking forward to, and that's what this Advent season is about, is preparing our hearts for that day. And much of the world takes a moment to pause for this holiday, even though many people don't really know why. Christmas, it's a really interesting thing because it's become this commercialized holiday and has lost a whole lot of the Christ in Christ's Mass, Christmas. But we as the church get to remind each other what this is about. And this is such a great time for you to bring a friend to the church because people are already in this Christmas spirit. People are already trying to participate in more Christmassy things. And what's more Christmas than to go to Christ's family and spend time with them getting to know about Christ. This is a great time to do that. And I'll just put this out there. Get ready for our Christmas Eve service and already be thinking about who you are going to bring to that service. Who are you going to invite to prepare their hearts for Christ's arrival? Who are you going to bring? That's one of the huge things that we can do. And so we're reminded of the why behind all these things that we're doing during this season. And that passage in Luke chapter 2 is one of the huge reasons why we celebrate this time of year, where the angels spoke out. Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to the people he favors." One angel described this good news being great joy for all people because the Messiah had made his advent into the world. He'd been born in Bethlehem. It's important for us to understand that the peace the angels were proclaiming that day was not a proclamation of world peace or the declaration of the end of strife and war. Listen to me real quickly. It wasn't a direct announcement that now we can all get along with our neighbors. It was actually a much bigger proclamation than that. There was a lot more depth to the peace that they were declaring other than the end of all wars, end of all fighting, end of all bickering with your family members. No, these angels were describing the peace that had been ripped away from mankind from the very beginning of mankind's history. He was looking back and saying, what was taken away from mankind in the garden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, that relationship with God, is now being restored in Christ Jesus. That peace has come into the world to restore the relationship with mankind to God. You are being made at peace with God through this Messiah who has come into the world. Sin is still going to do what sin does, but if you submit yourself to this peace, he will make you right with your Creator, which you couldn't do on your own. That's the peace that these angels were proclaiming to mankind, to us today, is that we can be at peace with God. Nothing we could have done before could have made us at peace, but now our Christ has come to bring us back into right relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen? That's the peace that we're talking about today. Through Jesus, the barrier of sin has been removed, the chasm that laid between us, like we were just singing about, due to the disobedience of the first Adam, has now been closed through the obedience of the second Adam, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. Now we have relationship and peace with God. The peace on earth that Jesus brings is the foremost peace that we can have with God through him. In Christ, we're brought back into right standing with our God. That's what righteousness means. It means right standing. It doesn't mean like you do so much good so that you get to that place. No, right standing or righteousness talks about your relationship with God. I am unrighteous apart from Christ. There's nothing that I can do to get God's approval. It's only through his Son, Jesus Christ, that he can bring me into right standing with God. Jesus is the only one without sin, and it takes the one without sin to bring me and clothe me with his righteousness so that I can stand before a holy God. Apart from him, I can't do it. I can't do it. We can't do it. This peace that comes from faith in Jesus and the forgiveness that follows is, we see an example of that in Luke chapter 7, there was a woman who lived a sinful life. Jesus was eating dinner with some of the Pharisees, and there were those at the table who began to say to themselves, after Jesus did something remarkable, they were blown away. Because Jesus saw this woman, she broke this alabaster box of perfume on Jesus' feet, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and anointed Jesus and blessed him. And these Pharisees were like, what, why are you associating yourself with this woman? And Jesus does something remarkable. He forgives this woman of her sins. He forgives this woman. Those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Because of the forgiveness of sins, we have peace with God. Because Jesus has the power to forgive our sins, we can now be at peace with God. We who were once enemies of God have now been made children of God through Christ Jesus. This is amazing. This is good news. No wonder the angels proclaimed glory to God in the highest, because no one could have done this except for Jesus himself. No one had the authority to forgive sins. That's why this was so mind-blowing for the Pharisees to hear someone say, "Hey, your sins are forgiven." Because no man can do that. No person can do that other than God himself, because God is the one we offend with our sin. No man can pardon sin. Only God could have done that. And only Jesus Christ as our mediator can forgive us and put us at peace with God. Amen? The angels declared that this peace belongs to those on whom God's favor rests. The Lord's favor rests on those who have received the truth of forgiveness of Jesus. And as a result, those people pass that truth and peace along to others. This is one of the things I love about our faith, is that we don't just pray a prayer one time and then we wait until we get to heaven one day. God has you here for a reason. To my friends who are in this room right now, who this week you struggled with thoughts, why am I on this earth? What is the point of me being here? I need you to listen to me. My God has a plan for you. He wants to use you to change this world. That is why you are here. Not just to wait until you get to heaven one day. No, God wants to use you to bring heaven to earth. The Lord's Prayer that we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." God wants to use you as an instrument for heaven to break through into earth today. For you to declare the peace of God to all mankind today. There is a purpose for you being here. There's a purpose for what you're going through as well. God wants to redeem it and use you to change the world for him. I love that about our God. And we are called to pass this peace to others. One of the greatest responses that we can have to this amazing news is by becoming like these angels, proclaiming that peace wherever we go. That's one of the greatest responses that we can have. If you are a grateful person, you become a generous person, right? If you're grateful for what you have, you give much away to others, not just financially or materially. To he who has been forgiven much, forgives much. If you've been shown great mercy, you show great mercy. That's how this works. If you have been given peace, you go out and you give peace to others. You've been given this good news, you give this good news to others. Amen? So this is part of our Advent as well. Advent season prepares us to go out and proclaim this good news, this peace to all mankind. The truth is, most families experience some sort of relational pressure and difficulties during this season. I understand that. Nearly every family gathering has at least one relative who is an EGR, an extra grace required. Yes, that person who it just takes a little bit extra to be around or to have that conversation with. And if you don't know which relative that is, it may be you. It may be. For many families, the Advent season actually brings more strife and conflict rather than less. But as ones who have received the peace of God through Jesus, we have a special opportunity to proclaim peace in our families and other relationships in a similar way how the angels proclaim peace to us. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives this incredible sermon on the mount. It's called that because he gave the sermon on a mountain. And he was explaining to people how life in the kingdom of God works. how we're supposed to operate if we're going to live for God. So I'd encourage you, just on your own time, today, tomorrow, this week, read through Matthew chapter 5 through 7 and see how God calls us to live if we're going to live under his authority. But the way he starts this off is by this list called the Beatitudes. And he says, blessed are the blank, for they shall blank. Blessed. And he lists out these things. If you want to live a blessed life, this is how you should live. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, he says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know our God is a peacemaker. That's what Jesus did when he came into this world, is he made peace between us and God. He did what couldn't have been done. He brought peace to chaos. And we, the children of God, if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're baptized into the family of God. You have now become a child of the Most High God. You get to reflect the character of your Heavenly Father. Our God is a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We are called to the same ministry of being peacemakers in this chaotic world. We have the same ministry that Jesus does to reconcile people unto God. And peace is one of the ways that we do that. Not just trying to avoid conflict, but by actually making peace. I'll say this, peacemaking is not the same thing as peacekeeping. When Jesus brought us peace with God, he didn't create an uneasy truce. He brought us back into unity and harmony with God. Jesus doesn't tolerate us. He restores us. He brings us back into a relationship. He doesn't just put up with us. He brings us back into his family. He didn't just take our sin and hide it under the rug. He made us entirely new and clothed us with his own righteousness so that we can stand blameless before our God and Father. That's what Jesus does by making peace with us. He doesn't just peace keep. He makes peace in our lives and in the lives of others. And he patiently continues to extend his mercy and forgiveness to us so that we can maintain that relationship with him until we meet him face to face. Wow. The United Nations is really good at peacekeeping, right? They go on these peacekeeping missions, these operations around the world. And the way that the UN describes these operations is that our peacekeepers help to prevent conflict, to reduce human suffering, build stable and prosperous societies, and enable people to reach their full potential. Now, we all hope that they are moving towards peacemaking, but peacekeeping is just preventing people from acting out the hate that's already in their hearts. It tries to prevent conflict and keeps people from destroying each other. That's what peacekeeping does. Peacemaking goes much deeper than that because peacemaking goes to the root. It goes to the heart. Peacemaking is what God did by sending his son Jesus. Peacemaking restores relationship rather than just keeps it surface level. We're just trying not to butt heads. And we're going to the heart of it. We're going to solve this issue. We're going to restore the relationship. That's what peacemaking is about. It brings harmony. It goes far beyond just avoiding and separating conflict. It brings restoration, relationship, and unity. Jesus made a lasting, restorative peace between us and God. Guys, aren't you glad that the angels didn't proclaim and on the earth tolerance to those he has decided to endure? Aren't we glad that the angels didn't say, and on earth God puts up with those on whom his favor rests? God doesn't just put up with us, friends. Oh. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to the people he favors. Oh, thank you, God. True peace speaks to the redemption of mankind. We are put back in the right state of being. And the Hebrew word for that peace is shalom. That is the peace that we're talking about. Not just an absence of conflict, but a presence of like entire contentment, being brought back into wholeness, What was empty is now filled. That's what shalom means in the Hebrew. It's what was empty is now filled in God. That's the peace that we're talking about. Godly shalom is a state of wholeness or completeness. What was once empty is now content, lacking in nothing. For many of us, the Christmas season is a reminder of that lack of peace that we have in our families and in our lives. Many of the conflicts we have with parents or children's brothers or sisters, we just want to make it through the holidays without getting in the same old fight that we get in each year. Many of us struggle to keep it together and just try to cling to whatever peace we can hold on to in our own hearts until it's over. But there's more for you this Advent season than just avoiding conflict. There's more. There's so much more in Jesus Christ. As a son or daughter of God, God brought you to him through Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection so that you don't have to just be a peacekeeper who makes it through the holidays. Instead, you can proclaim the good news of Jesus and be a peacemaker, declaring peace that lasts and transforms lives. That's what we get in Jesus Christ. I know that this is so much easier said than done. I absolutely know. I absolutely understand that. I've had moments where it is so much more convenient to just step away from the conflict, to not pick up the phone and make the apology, to avoid the person. That's so much easier. But it's so much more impactful for your life and their life if you become a peacemaker instead of just a peacekeeper. I was watching a classic Christmas movie last night with Bridget and found out that Old Man Marley knows exactly what we're talking about in Home Alone. So let's check this out real quick.
You want to know the real reason why I'm here right now?
Sure.
Came to hear my granddaughter sing. And I can't come and hear her tonight.
You have plans?
No. I'm not welcome.
At church?
Oh, you're always welcome at church. I'm not welcome with my son. You can be a little old for a lot of things. You're never too old to be afraid.
That's true. I've always been afraid of our basement. It's dark, there's weird stuff down there, and it smells funny, that sort of thing. It's bothered me for years.
The basements are like that.
Then I made myself go down there to do some laundry, and I found out it's not so bad. All this time I've been worrying about it, but if you turn on the lights, it's no big deal.
What's your point?
My point is you should call your son.
What if he won't talk to me?
At least you'll know. Then you can stop worrying about it. And you won't have to be afraid anymore. I don't care how mad I was, I talked to my dad. Especially around the holidays.
I don't know.
Just give it a shot. For your granddaughter anyway. I'm sure she misses you. And the presents. Okay. What about you?
Me?
Yeah. You and your son.
We'll see what happens. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Peacekeeping tries to appease, patch together, and keep everyone satisfied or just quietly disgruntled. Peacemaking deals with the underlying issues of the heart and brings healing and restoration of relationship. And that's what Old Man Marley experienced when he finally just picked up the phone. Instead of just trying to maintain the peace, just keep it, he decided he was going to be a peacemaker, even if it meant rejection, even if that conversation was difficult. And it ended up restoring his relationship with his son and with his granddaughter. That's such a picture of what God wants to do in your life and through you to the world around you. God wants you to be a peacemaker, transforming the world around you with his shalom that fills the voids in people's lives with the heart of God. That's what God's son did for us. So what better way to proclaim and demonstrate what he's done than to do the same in our families and those around us? This is just one of the ways that we not only prepare our hearts for the arrival of Christ, but it's how God has called us to prepare the way for him in the lives of others. Amen? That's also one of the callings during Advent, is not just for us to prepare our hearts for God, but to live our lives in such a way that we're continually preparing the hearts of other people. We are preparing the way of the Lord, making straight the paths. We're removing obstacles that are in the way of other people so that they can come to know Christ. And by making peace with others, if you have wronged someone, my friends, pick up the phone. Humble yourself. Make the difficult conversation happen. Do everything in your power to restore peace. In Romans chapter 12, the writer Paul exhorts the Christians after telling them, like, hey, we need to renew our minds. We need to be living sacrifices for God. He continues on to say that we should do everything in our power to live peaceably with all people. Right? We should do everything in our power to make peace with the people around us. Sometimes we've got to surrender our desire to be right so that we can make peace with others. Amen? So one of the dangers of this season is getting so caught up in, you know, all the different things, the music, the running around, the buying gifts and presents, so that we miss our real mission. In James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, it reminds us, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. This season, we should be more concerned with proclaiming the peace of Jesus. We should be centered on living out the gospel with our friends and family. We all make connections and have conversations with people that only come around during this time of year. So now's the time to pray for wisdom and discernment within those connections before you get to that Christmas dinner, before you're with your family who maybe there's that conflict. Start praying today for that wisdom of God to guide you in those conversations, to make peace. Or with your coworker who you'll see tomorrow, who you know there's conflict with, maybe a manager. Start asking God for wisdom right now so that you can know how to make peace in whatever that environment is. This season, I exhort you to just pray with me that God will give us the wisdom of heaven as we interact with friends and family and all the people around us, so that God will show us the best way to proclaim his good news when we speak, and when to speak, and when to let things go. Sometimes that's it. You guys know forgiveness isn't about saying, hey, what you did was okay. That was all right. People have done horrible things. Jesus Christ calls us to forgive everybody. By forgiving, we're not saying that, yeah, what they did was, that wrong was actually right. It was okay. No, we're saying, you don't owe me anything. You're canceling a debt with that person. That's what you're doing. You're saying, I hold nothing against you. I don't hold it against you in my heart towards my God. I forgive you. I don't expect anything in return. I don't even expect an apology. And sometimes for some of us, I know for myself, that's what it takes, is just letting something go to begin to make peace with that person. Because a lot of times holding on to something, unforgiveness, is that very thing that's keeping us from living peaceably with all people. We who have been forgiven much, forgive much. We have been shown great mercy. Let us show great mercy. Amen? Amen. Some of our family members and friends know how to bait us into these unproductive arguments and maybe even try to sabotage these holidays with the drama. We want to argue, we want to correct, we want to fight and defend, but when we take the bait, rather than changing their minds, it usually drags us along to places that we shouldn't have gone to, that we really didn't need to go. Sometimes we do need to say the hard thing. Sometimes the loving thing to do is to stand up for what's true. And other times, the righteous thing to do is to lay down the need to be right. For the loving thing is to avoid taking that bait and becoming distracted from the real mission, of proclaiming the good news of Jesus and sharing the love of God with everybody and anybody who is ready and willing to receive it. That's why a peace proclaimer needs to have the wisdom of heaven to discern, all right, is now the right time to take the stand, or is now just the time to let it go, right? So that I can make peace, so that this person may receive that good news of Jesus. So we need to pray for that wisdom from heaven so that he'll give us that discernment. So my prayer this year for you all is that you can proclaim his peace to your family and friends like you've never done before. Sometimes people want understanding and help. Sometimes they just want to hide behind an argument. And I pray that God will give us the wisdom and discernment to see the difference and not take the bait. And if we do or say the wrong thing, that God will give us the grace and the courage to humble ourselves, admit that we are wrong, and restore that relationship. So that's one of the greatest things you can do to make peace. Is if you know you have wronged someone or said something, even in your mind you feel like you're justified, but that person, from their perspective, they see that you have done them wrong. Guys, one of the greatest things that we can do is just to humble ourselves and say, I am so sorry. Siri knows. Siri knows. She wants me to say it again. I'll say it again. I'll say it again. One of the greatest things that you can do is if you have said or done the wrong thing, even in your mind, if you're justified in saying it or doing it, if that from that person's perspective, if you have wronged them, one of the greatest ways you can make peace is just humble yourself, just let it go and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that that hurt you. I love you, and so does my Jesus, and my Jesus didn't want to hurt you. I'm so sorry. That's one of the greatest ways that we can be peacemakers in this world is when we recognize that we have done or said wrong, or even in the eyes of others, humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. It's not fun, but it's so good. Amen? It's so good. Conflict is just going to be inevitable because no one's exactly like you. That's just how this works, and that's okay. If you typically have relational struggles during this season, remember that all people are bearers of God's image, even if we can't see it. That's one of the things that helps me so much if I'm butting heads with some. This person was made in my Father's image. Jesus loves this person equally as he loves me. That helps me so much. Remember that hurting people hurt people. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. This is what God continually does to us every single day. The one thing that we all share is brokenness. And the one thing that we all need is grace. That's what we need. A peacemaker who is working to proclaim Jesus will try to get beyond the rough exterior. A peacemaker will show mercy, remembering that even more than our opinions, everyone ultimately needs Jesus, including ourselves. I've never seen a person argued into a relationship with Jesus. Honestly, I've never seen it happen. But I've seen several people who were loved into a relationship with Jesus. I've seen that happen several times through my friends, my family, and by the grace of God in my own life. But I haven't seen people argued into it. That people need the love of God. And certainly there are some times that love is tough, but there's a lot of times where love is quiet and it just listens. And in the midst of all these traditions, celebrations, gatherings, and everything, just don't forget how precious people are to God. Even the most belligerent, difficult, and draining people are precious to God. The most EGR people out there are precious to God. So much so that Jesus Christ counted them worthy for his own blood. That's the perspective that we have when we are proclaiming the peace to all peoples, is that God wants them to be at peace with him as well. And this is one of the last things before we start closing it here, is that you can't give what you don't have. And I know this is a struggle. We live in some of the most anxious times in our society. I know how difficult that is. No one expects you to be perfect. But it is difficult to proclaim the message of God's peace when we're stressed out, overwhelmed, or exhausted. Our proclamation must first begin with us accepting and embracing the peace of God in our own lives. We need to know remind ourselves daily that God's favor now rests on us, that you are a beloved son, you are a beloved daughter of God who God is pleased with. God actually delights in you. The same thing that Jesus said, or that God said to his own son, Jesus, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. God says that about Bernie. God says that about June. She is my daughter whom I'm well pleased. He says that about us today. That's the perspective that we have when those thoughts start coming in, trying to accuse us and tell us something different, is that God delights in you. So in order for us to walk and remain in peace, in the peace that Jesus brings, we need to be disciplined about where we allow our minds to go and the things that we allow our minds to think about. Pastor Rick Warren often says, think about what you think about. Right? That's a regular practice that we should have in our lives. And Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, that we are to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. One more time, listen to this. This is huge. We have to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So when something comes in trying to tell you how little worth you have in the kingdom of God, how, oh, you messed up, that disqualifies you from following Jesus, take that thought captive and submit it to the Word of God. Remind yourself who you are and whose you are. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how this works. We submit those thoughts to God, and God gives us this peace. Surround yourself with people who remind you of who you are in Christ Jesus. I need people in my life, like my wife, like Pastor Mike, like our elders at our church, like my college young adult friends, who remind me of who I am in Christ Jesus. We all need that. So when it comes to living in peace and proclaiming peace, it's possible to lose the battle in our mind before we've even begun a conversation with other people. How many of us have had an argument in our mind with a person before you even talk with that person? Right? If we're going there before we even talk to that person, let's just check ourselves. Let's just check the heart, bring it back and say, okay, Lord, I need you to give me your heart for this person. Give me your compassion. And instead of preparing ourselves to defend or fight, pray that God will just help you look at that person the same way that he does. Ask him for grace to love them just as he does. We all know that you can't make people change. You can't make anyone do much of anything. But you can proclaim peace, just like the angels. Peace on earth to all mankind. For this Messiah has made his advent. He has come into this world. We can declare that peace at all times through the things we say and do. So how far are you willing to go to share that peace that you have in Jesus with the people you know? Are you willing to take the first step? Are you willing to proclaim the heavenly peace of Christ in all the world this Advent? Jesus crossed the chasm of heaven to make peace with you, and the angels came to the earth to proclaim the good news. Peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. So this is our challenge today as we're closing. Look and pray for every opportunity to proclaim the peace of God to those around you. That's the challenge. Look and pray for every single opportunity. Be a peacemaker instead of a peacekeeper. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for your advent into this world, for your arrival in our lives today, and for your eventual coming in glory again. We pray that you would continue to prepare our hearts and make us peacemakers in every area of our lives. When we go to work, when we go home, when we're with our families this Christmas season, when we're with the people who rub us the wrong way, help us to maintain, not just maintain peace, but to make peace in those situations. Humble us, God. Give us your grace. Give us your strength so that you may be glorified in every area of our lives, so that we can be like these angels who proclaim the good news, the peace on earth to all the people on whom God's favor rests. Help us to do so, Lord. As we prepare our hearts for this moment where we come to meet you at the Lord's table, God, I pray that you would forgive us. We admit to you that we have sinned against you this week, the past few days, by the things that we have done, by the things that we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, nor have we loved our neighbor as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us of our sins so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.